This morning, I'm going to get an insight into the inner working of my mind. That's a bit scary, isn't it? I'm sure, but you might not be by the end of it. And when I first started putting this together, I was asked by Jane if I'd preach, quite a long time ago. I thought, right, okay, what am I going to talk about? Hopefully this works. Steve, please help me out. That's promising. You can put it onto the first, that's it, there we go. I thought, what on earth am I going to talk about? And as you do, you pray about it, you think about it, and you know, you wake up in the early hours of the morning, and then you realise that the clicker's not going to work, so please, Steve. I thought, okay, I've got a couple of ideas forming, and I'm going to talk about this, and then I'll talk about that, and then I'll talk about this, and it sort of started coming together in a bit of a logical sequence. Now, for those that have got sharp eyes, you know where I'm going now, don't you? For those who've got sharp eyes, it might frustrate you that 5, 6, and 7 go from right to left and not left to right. Yeah? But that's how my mind works. But the next one, please, Steve, is definitely how my mind works. By the time I'd got to thinking, what am I going to talk about, my head just went poof. Because I had so many things that I wanted to bring that I've thought and felt and believed that God was saying to me. So, how do I go about it? So I thought, well, I really need to put some structure into this. I need to give it a title. Yes, please, Steve. So I thought, spot the difference. I thought, doesn't really tell a great deal, does it? And the next one. Are we the same? Okay, and the next one. We are all one in God's eyes. You can perhaps see the bit of a theme coming through this, can't you? And the next one. What does God see? And the next one, we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. And the next one, it's a talk with too many titles. I just couldn't give it a title. But having said that, and I'm going off piece now already, and I'm only on slide 2, during the communion, I just thought, I've just got a new title. If I don't mention it, shout at me and I'll tell you what it is at the end. So, in true Baptist tradition, trying to put some structure into what I'm trying to say this morning, there's going to be 3 points. So the next one. So the talk with many titles, point number one, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Point number two, I'm going to tell you it. And point number three, I'm going to then tell you what I've told you. And point number four, out of three, we're going to have fellowship over tea, coffee and biscuits. Sounds like a plan to me. This might be a short sermon, and some people probably think, thank goodness for that. This might be, or some people might think it's for a longer sermon, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for 4 hours of deep theological teaching. Don't look. We're going for the first one. It's going to be shorter than longer, okay? I'm sure you'll be pleased about that. But I, personally, am a visual learner. I don't know about you. I don't know if you have learning style, if you've heard of learning styles, but I'm a visual learner. I didn't go to university. At 16, I left school. I did an apprenticeship. I was forced to go to college as part of that apprenticeship, which I really enjoyed. I passed all the exams. But I think I've turned out all right. I believe so. I hope so. But like, it's not about me this morning. But what I'm going to try and do is encourage you to look at things in a slightly different way. So, Steve, the next one, please. So, in terms of what we're going to, I'm telling you what I'm going to tell you now, look, that I've just said I'm a visual learner. I'm not an academic. There are 4 clocks there, and it's a bit difficult to see, but they're all showing the same time, but they're all different colours. There's a deck of cards. There's 2 fish, a big one and a little fish, which looks like they're kissing. Hey. It says different, and that different we're going to come back to. And if those that have got really good eyesight can see that the different is made up of different words. Can you see that? You'll see what they are in a little bit. A whatever-o-meter and a squirrel all have a point in this talk this morning. Trust me. And here is, Blue Peter style, my whatever-o-meter. Now, if I could do a Wallace and Gromit style description of, now then, Gromit, get the trees. But you'll see that there's no numbers on it. There's no graduations, there's no minimum, there's no max. It can be whatever I want it to be. See where I'm going with this? So that's where we're going to go. But the next side sleeve, the important thing is in all of this, God is in the centre. That is the most important thing. I've actually lost track of what this next slide is, Steve. On the one that comes after that? Oh, is that? Oh, I know, I remember now. Whew. Back on track, Tyler. Focus. We actually live in a world, don't we, that seems to seek and value conformity. You have to fit into certain boxes. Otherwise, we don't meet people's expectations. I remember many years ago when our son, and I'm off piste again, our son was not very well. He had some mental health issues. We went to see a psychiatrist as part of family therapy. We were all there. He was, I'm going to say, about 12 or 13. Our daughter was with us. She was about 7 or 8. And the psychiatrist asked my son lots of questions. And it's all the typical questions that you ask of teenagers. Are you getting up in the morning? Are you washing yourself? Are you cleaning your teeth? It's all about self-care. Are you motivated to do things? And all this sort of stuff. And he asked him loads of questions. And some of these questions he answered by saying, yes, I do that. And some of the questions he answered said, well, I do that, but I don't do that. So it's not quite a yes, and it's not quite a no, it's a maybe, somewhere in the middle. And this psychiatrist continued to ask lots of questions. And at the end of his questions, he said, that's it, I've sussed it. And we said, okay, what's that? And he said, he's a deviant. Sorry? He's a deviant. Now, my son is far from a deviant. But he didn't fit into all the boxes that he wanted him to fit into. And because he fell out of one box, he fell into that box. And because he didn't fit in that box, he fell in that box. And they put him in the lowest and the lowest and the lowest. My son, as many people know, is currently living in Switzerland. He's married. He has a baby on the way. He's currently studying for his PhD, his third degree. And if that's the definition of a deviant, I'd like to be a deviant as well, please. But it's not. We expect people to fit into certain norms, don't we? We expect people to look like things, or look like certain ways. But we actually, in all of this, do we not sometimes forget that God designed each and every one of us to be unique? We are all different from one another. We have differences that bring out a great richness and depth to his kingdom. Those differences, whether they're in our personalities, our giftings, or even our ways of thinking and processing this complex world that we live in, shouldn't be seen as an obstacle. Just like this psychiatrist saw my son's inability to do X, Y, Z an obstacle. We shouldn't be looking like that. But it's actually evidence, real tangible evidence of God's creativity and his love for each and every one of us. As Christians, do we stand out in a crowd? Do we blend in so we don't get seen? Is that sometimes our intention? Do we deliberately try and hide from people? Do we try and just pretend we're not here? How do our day-to-day actions demonstrate God's love to our neighbours? Next one, Steve. Thank you. We're all familiar with Where's Wally? This is taken from the BBC News site. There was a Where's Wally convention being held in Ireland. They were trying to get the maximum number of Where's Wallys in one place. Now, I think we're all familiar with the Where's Wally kids thing, where there's a whole picture and there's just one of those sat somewhere and you've got to find where is Wally. I think it's fairly easy to find Wally in that picture. But each of those Wallys, what a horrible name, each of those Wallys, they're all different. There is no two Wallys the same. The only thing that's the same is the clothing. One of the topics for last week's half week of prayer was focusing on love thy neighbour. We shouldn't forget that it means everyone all around us. Our physical neighbours, our friends, our families, the stranger in the street, the person you sat next to. That can be a sensitive subject sometimes, can't it? And it can also be a real challenge in itself. Another thing we should remember is to love ourselves. How do we feel about ourselves? What's our self-perception of us in whatever we do? We're going to come back onto that in a little while. Again, during the week of prayer, we focused on false beliefs. So I actually do have 3 points, you'd be pleased to know. Point number one, God created us all with differences. All those people are dressed the same, but they're different. So at this point, I think it'd be rather good, since I'm preaching, I thought to do it properly. Let's take a look at God's word. The Bible begins with the declaration that God created everything. Genesis 1, verses 26 to 27 says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. But we've already talked about it. Have you noticed that humanity is not made in God's true and exact image, but many different forms or variations? Men and women were created with different characteristics, and that includes a vast array of temperaments, talents, and abilities that we all possess. God's intention was not for us to be the same, but to reflect his image when we combine all of our differences. And that's the same for us. How many people in this room can play a musical instrument? Yep. Okay. So there's something common. How many people have got blue eyes? A couple? No, I don't know. I put my hand up because I haven't. A couple have, yeah. Who is 4'3" tall? I don't know. Let's use the whateverometer. The point I'm trying to say is that somewhere on the scale, we are all sitting somewhere. It might be our weight, it might be our height, it might be our giftings. Sorry for the sound, I'll move it away from the microphone. You get the idea. We're all different. There's no numeric figure, that's why I didn't put a scale on it. There's no 1 to 10. Because somebody who's 5'1" might be next to somebody who's somebody who is 5'1" and a little bit, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. We're all so different. We're on this range. That makes sense. So what does the Bible say about how we show and embrace all of these differences that is emphasizing that every part is necessary and also valuable in our life? 1 Corinthians 12, 14 to 18, Paul compares the church to a body, emphasizing that every part is necessary and is valuable. And the passage reads, "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would, for that reason, not stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." This passage teaches us that every individual, regardless of their differences, has a vital role in the body of church. If all believers were the same, we would lack the richness and variety that God desires for his church. Likewise, we all contribute to the body in ways that others may not immediately understand, but we are no less valuable in God's eyes. I had a deck of cards on my slide set at the beginning. Here's one I prepared earlier. If we consider the deck of cards to be King's Baptist Church, this is complete. Who considers themselves to be a prayer? Who's, you know, prayer is an important part of their church life. Okay, Lorna, you can have one. You together, you can have one, Adrian.
Thank you.
Liz? Anybody else?
Thank you.
Lindsay, you get my steps on this one. So every one of those people has got an ace. But each one is different, because they've got four different suits. So just because Liz is a prayer, doesn't make her any different from Adrian as a prayer, or from Lindsay, or for Lorna. They're all prayers. Who thinks they're a good listener? Liz, Margaret, one more. They've all got the number two. They're all different because they've all got different suits. But they're all listeners. Some might be really good listeners. Some might be not quite as good listeners. Whatever I want them to be, they're on here. We've all got different levels of skills. Who thinks they're a good evangelist? Or who evangelises? I'm going to stop running a minute, I'm getting tired. Gordon, you've got to be on the list, mate. In fact, you can have all four.
Oh, I'm not working.
Do you see where I'm going with this? Preacher, he's got to have one, hasn't he? I better give myself one, I suppose. That's the fours. Hospitality, who's good at hospitality? Who likes doing hospitality? Who thinks that God has called them to do hospitality? Alice is pointing to Catherine. We enjoyed a great time at your house on the Saturday after Christmas, so thank you. Ability to do DIY. Matt's not here, so I can't give him one. But I'm sure other people are here can do it, so, you know. So they're the fives. Well, Michelle, I'm not going to leave you out, mate. There you go. I didn't think this through when I was preaching, practicing. There we go. Flower arranging. There's another one. Gardening. There's another one. What else? Anybody got any other things which are part of our church life that should be included? Working with children. Thank you. Any more?
Music and worship.
Oh, thank you. Thank we got to music and worship because I'm shattered now. Absolutely. How many people here, I've asked the question, let's just put our hand up again, are musicians? Helen, Lorna, this. They're all different numbers now, but you're getting the idea. Etc. Four different suits. But is it just about the suits? Because we could this time say that the suits represent the different instruments they play. Helen and Laura play the keyboard. Mark plays guitar. Lorna sings, I play the bass, Michelle plays bass. So we've all got different giftings in that element. But what I do want to just focus on briefly is our perception of those giftings. How are we going to do this without embarrassing people? Mark, how good do you think you are as a guitar player? Not a lot. Helen, thank you, Helen. Helen disagrees. Lorna disagrees. Isn't it always the case that we don't see ourselves as good as other people? We always tend to put ourselves down. Do you think God wants us to do that? No, I don't think so either. Okay. If we compared Mark and my guitar playing, I know I'm not as good as Mark. Because I can play one song, and that's it. I'm not talking about bass, I'm talking about acoustic. We are all different. And we sometimes hinder ourselves by what we think about ourselves. And we isolate ourselves from our perception of what God thinks of us. Does God care that I'm not as good a guitar player as Mark? No. What does he care about? The heart for trying to do it. That I am me, Mark is Mark, Adrian is Adrian, B is B, Michael is Michael, and for what you are wanting to give to serve him. And Jesus embraces those who are different. And during the Gospels, we see that Jesus ministered to the marginalized. And in those Gospels, we see how he reached out to those who were marginalized, often because they were seen as different or other. He showed love. He showed compassion to people with disabilities, the poor, the sick, the outcasts of society. Should we be any different? In Matthew 9, verses 35 to 36, he says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus did not exclude anyone from his love. He embraced the differences in people, whether it was a woman with a bleeding disorder, as we read in Luke 8, 43 to 48, the blind man in Mark 8, 22 to 25, or a child with a demon in Mark 9, verses 14 to 29. Jesus did not see their differences as problems to be fixed, but as opportunities to show his love and his compassion. Do we sometimes prejudge situations when we see certain things around us? And I think the answer is yes. In John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, where Jesus was healing the blind man, his disciples say to him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus replied, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus did not see this man's blindness as a flaw or punishment. Instead, he saw it as an opportunity to reveal God's glory. This is a profound reminder that differences, whether in abilities or circumstances, are not mistakes in God's eyes, but it's part of his greater plan. Similarly, those who are seen as different in our society may experience the world in unique ways, but it's not a flaw or a curse. God can use these differences in his glory, for his glory. Next slide, please, Steve, if I've got this right. Yes. Who's heard of the Australian called Nick Vujicic? Yeah? Last week, when Alistair was preaching, he said, who was his inspiration? He mentioned Noah. This, for me, is an inspirational man. I'll warn you now, if I'm ever asked to preach again, I'll just show YouTube videos of him, because I could watch him till the cows come home. He was born in 1982 without any arms and any legs. When he was born, the doctors apologized to his parents for not spotting that he was deformed in the womb, and that as parents, they did not have the ability to make the decision as to whether they wanted to abort the baby. However, his family helped cope with both the challenges and blessings of raising someone who would not allow his lifestyle to be limited by his physical condition. Understandably, in his early days, he had difficulties for him. He's not normal, is he? He doesn't fit into society. I'm left-handed. There are lots of things I can't do because the world is designed around right-handedness. He's got no legs, he can't climb upstairs. He's got no arms, he can't hug his wife. He is married, he has got children. Throughout his childhood, he not only dealt with the typical challenges of being in school and adolescence, you know what it's like for our children when they went through school and how tough it was for them. How do you think it was for him? Struggled with depression, struggled with loneliness. constantly wondering why he was different from all the other kids, questioning the purpose of life, or even if he had a purpose. Questioning of his life and his purpose led to an unsuccessful suicide attempt at 10. Five years later, he gave his life to God. At 15, he gave his life to God. Today, he's an inspirational speaker and preacher across the whole world. Works in schools, prisons, and churches, talking on the wide range of subjects such as bullying, the effect of peer pressure with regards to body image, sex, drugs, etc., etc. Take the slide down, please, Steve. I'm going to show you a video, one of his videos. It's about 6 minutes long, so please bear with me. But it's him speaking to a whole load of school children in Australia, and he's talking about body image. And when he preaches, sometimes he talks about Jesus, sometimes he doesn't. But this is how he portrays himself. And apologies, it's a fairly old video and the quality is not that good. But let's just take a watch at this. Thanks, Dave.
I'm coming!
Ready? Hey, is that cool? Awesome. I want to talk about, like, when I started, you know, going to school and stuff, a lot of people put me down, you know what I mean? Like, people tease each other. I mean, people come up and say, hey, you're fat, you know, like, lose some weight. And you're like, you go home and you look at yourself in the mirror and go, I'm fat, right? And so many people tease each other. Oh, you know, you're too short, you're too tall, you look whatever. You know, different hair and all that. It doesn't matter. See, the thing is, when you're in school, when you're growing up in life, it actually sort of matters to people how you look. And then it matters to you because it matters to others. Why? Why does it matter how you look? Because if they don't like you, then who will? If they don't accept you, then who will? And the fear that we have is that we're going to be alone. That we're not good enough. And, you know, we have to change ourselves. And, you know, so many people put me down and say, Nick, you look too weird and no one's really your friend and you can't do this and you can't do that. And I couldn't change anything. It's not like just fixing my hair one day and everything's fine. It's not like, you know, just whatever. I couldn't change my circumstance. I couldn't just one day wake up and say, hey, give me arms and legs. I need arms and legs. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we went to a bodybuilder, you know, and said, can you make me some arms and legs? No, I'm joking. Bodybuilder, you get it? Right? So this is the thing. You know, I go up to people, can you give me a hand? You know, I'm just joking. But it was so hard because people put me down. And I started believing that I was not good enough. I started believing that I was a failure. That I'd never ever be somebody who people would like or people would accept. And it was so hard, man. I thought to myself, I can't go on the soccer field like everybody else, and I can't ride my bike, and I can't skateboard, and all these sort of things. And I started getting depressed. I thought, what kind of purpose do I have to live? I mean, are you just here to live to die? I mean, is there not a purpose for me? Is there not a purpose in life? And I had questions and no answers. And I asked my mom and dad, why did this happen? I asked doctors, why did this happen? And they don't know. There are some things in life that are out of your control that you can't change and you got to live with. The choice that we have, though, is either to give up or keep on going. I want to ask you, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe in yourself? Are you going to believe everybody else's judgment on you? Are you going to believe people when they say that you're a failure? Well, no one really likes you. No one really cares about you. And it's not really to say that, hey, you need someone to come up and say, hey, really, I like you, I care about you. No, it's not that, but it's the fact that people put you down. People don't even look you in the eye. People ask you how you are, and you say fine, but you're not fine, and they'll never know that. I tell you, life is interesting. Life's a journey. See this phone here? Let's say that I want to go to the phone, right? And I start from over here. Now, to get to the phone, it's not like I'm going to start meditating and going hum, right, and float across the air, right? It's not going to work. It's not like I'm going to go hum and woo, you know, it's not going to work. So I have to take one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time. You can only take one step at a time. I don't care how big your step is, it's only one step at a time. You can't do two steps in one. You understand? So it's like one step at a time. And you take steps in this direction, you take steps in that direction, and sort of get lost along the way, and sometimes you fall down. Now, to illustrate my point, I'm going to jump off the table, do a back twist, and land on the floor. Okay? Is that cool? Are you ready? Oh, there's a clock there. Okay, can you move the clock for a second, please? Beautiful, beautiful. All right. You ready? So, are you guys ready? Just let me know when you're ready. You ready? Okay, ready? One, two. I'm joking, man. Are you serious? Just put the clock back there. If I did that, I'll break my arm or something. You know what I mean? But honestly, along the way, you might fall down like this. Ready? No? Hello? Right. So what do you do when you fall down? Get back up. Everybody knows to get back up, because if I start walking, I'm not going to get anywhere. But I tell you, there are some times in life where you fall down and you feel like you don't have the strength to get back up. You sort of put a mask on your face when you come to school and pretend that everything's okay when it's not, and you go home and lay in your bed when no one's looking at you, when you don't have to impress anybody, and you're yourself. And fear comes in. You know the fear that you have as soon as you walk into the doors of your house. Maybe there's a broken home. Maybe you have doubt in your life. Maybe you don't know for sure what's going to be happening in the future, and it scares you. Maybe you're worried about what people think of you, what people say about you. Just that fear paralyzes you. And I just want to ask you today, do you think you have hope? Because I tell you, I'm down here, face down, and I have no arms, no legs. It should be impossible for me to get back up. I mean, you go home and tie the legs and arms of your brothers and sisters and like push them down and see how long it's going to take them to get back up. You know what I mean? You know, you can tell them that you'll see them tomorrow. You know what I mean? But this is the thing. It should be impossible for me to get back up, but it's not. You see, I will try 100 times to get up, and if I fail 100 times, if I fail and I give up, do you think that I'm ever going to get up? No. But if I fail, I try again and again and again. For as long as I try, there's always that chance of getting up. Does that make sense? And it's not the end until you've given up. And just the fact that you're here should persuade you that you have another chance to get back up. There's still hope. I'm not here today to tell you that I understand your pain. I don't know how it feels to be abused. I don't know how it feels to feel, quote, fat and you've got an eating disorder. I don't know how it feels to have a broken home. I don't know how it feels. But I know how it feels to have a broken heart. And I know how it feels to be alone. And I want you to know that I found my strength in Jesus Christ, and you're going to find your strength in whatever you find it in. But I just want you to know that it's not the end. It matters how you're going to finish. Are you going to finish strong? And you will find that strength to get back up like this.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. My fourth point, remember I got four, follows on from that video. And how do we celebrate our individual uniqueness as a gift? How do we use what we've got for His glory? Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. David praises God for the uniqueness of His creation. And it says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Some of you have read that passage out this morning. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well my frame was not hidden from you when I was in this secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Psalm 139 also got quoted during the week of prayer. Every individual is fearfully and wonderfully made, regardless of how they are wired. How does society treat people, we've already touched on it, who do not seem to conform to the norm? How do we personally react and behave? What goes through our mind when we come across people in society who don't fit into that expected box? It's not in that box, it's not in that box, it's a deviant. What do we think or how do we react when we see the person living in the doorway of a shop in Letchworth? When we see someone who has gone out and had their whole face tattooed, that actually you can't see any skin underneath it. When we see someone who is disabled through birth, as we've just seen, or through a major trauma in life, maybe somebody who's lost limbs through car accidents or involved in war. Do we wonder how and what their contribution will be to society? Do we question where God is in that situation? Because I'm sure they do, and I think we do. But it's how we put our perspective on it. As we've seen, these individuals are not mistakes. They're not broken people, but they are beautifully created by God with a specific purpose. The way they experience and interact with the world is valuable in God's kingdom. And shouldn't we engage and interrelate with them in exactly the same way? He spends his life going around the world, sharing the love of Jesus, using his difficulties and how he's overcome them to show other people, as he just showed at the end of that video, you can get up, you can be normal. As I said, he's got children, he goes fishing, he goes surfboarding in the ocean. You wouldn't think that's possible, would you? But he's overcome it. Going back to our playing cards, they're all over the church now. But if they're all back in the box, we're all together, aren't we? We are belonging to one another. The church should be, and I hope it is, a place where we're all welcomed, we are celebrated for who we are and we are loved. In Galatians 3:28, Paul writes, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all part of God's family, each and every one of us, with its unique gifts and abilities. Everyone has something to offer and something to give. And their individual insights, their creativity and perspectives that other may overlook, other people may overlook. They may express it or do it differently to what we are accustomed to. So what? Church should be a place where differences are celebrated and not just tolerated. It's already been prayed this morning somewhere else. When we accept all our differences, we reflect God's love for all of his children. You'll be pleased to know we're getting close to the end now. It's not that long, hopefully. We need to embrace the differences in ourselves and others. As we reflect on God's love, or how God's loves the differences in people, we must remember that every person is created in God's image, and every person plays an important role in the body of Christ. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made. Let us continue to be a community that celebrates the uniqueness of every person. We should continue to seek God's will in how we embrace the many ways in which God works through us. Let us extend God's love and grace to those who may think, act, or feel indifferently, knowing that they are a reflection of his great creativity. We are all aware of people around us that have got difficulties and struggles. I can think of three people in this room that have got difficulties with relationships and how children engage. Four, I just thought somebody else. How do we support those people? How do we look after them when they're going through tough times? I was going to ask a favour of somebody, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But I do pray that God blesses us all as we embrace the differences in ourselves and each other, and we see them as God's reflection of God's infinite love and creativity. So how did we do with the 4 points? If we can have the next slide, please, Steve. So we've talked about God created us with differences. Collectively, we are the body of Christ, and Jesus embraces those who are different, and we celebrate our uniqueness as a gift. Let's take that on, please, down, Steve. Thank you. Almost finished, honest. The squirrel. You've all been sat there wondering where the squirrel's going to come in, aren't you? I can sense it. It's an old story, but bear with me as I go through it. A pastor was given the children's message during a children's service. For this part of the service, he would gather all the children around him and give a brief lesson before they went out for the church, a mini sermon before they went out for the teaching, I guess. And on this particular Sunday, he was using squirrels as an example of industry and creativity. I've just lost my place, bear with me. Yes, given a lesson on industry and preparation, we know how squirrels hide the nuts and get ready for winter and all this sort of stuff. And he was using that as his example. And he started out by saying, I'm going to describe something and I want you to raise your hand when you know what it is. And all the children go, yeah, okay, yes, sir. The thing lives in trees, pauses, and eats nuts. Another pause. No hands went up. And it's grey. Another pause. And it has a long, bushy tail. Another pause. The children were looking at each other, but still nobody raised their hand. And it jumps from branch to branch. Leaves another pause. And chatters and flips its tail when excited. Another pause. Now, if I was a pastor by now, I think I shouldn't use this example, but there we go. Finally, one little boy tentatively raises his hand. The pastor breathes a sigh of relief and says to him, well? And the boy says, I know the answer. The answer is Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel. The recurring theme for the week of prayer has been putting Jesus and keeping Jesus in the center. Jesus is always the answer. Might look like a squirrel, but Jesus is an answer. And then the last slide, please, Steve. We are all different. And I don't know if you can read that, but the word different is made up from the words same. And God is made up from the word thank you. We may all be different, but we are the same in Christ. We give thanks to God for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us in our pack of cards is important, because without a single card, if I get one card missing, then I might as well throw this pack of cards away because it's no use. I'll have it back, Laura. A pack of cards and a church is not complete if there's a piece missing. Which piece are you in KBC? Do you value yourself within KBC and the role of the church and the life of this church and the ministry of this church? Where do you see yourself going? Where do you see yourself in God's eyes? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful diversity that you have created in humanity. Lord, I thank you for each individual here in this room and those on Zoom and in our fellowship, for the ways that we are all different and for how you use our differences for your glory. Help us to see the beauty in those who may not be exactly the same as us, to love them as you love them, and to embrace the gifts that you have placed within each person. May our community be a place of welcome, love, and acceptance for all. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, if the worship team can come back up, we'll have our final song. As they're just coming back up, if During any of that, there's something that's resonated with you.